This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Welcome to church, everybody, this morning. How good was that digital foyer again with Lewis and Carol in there? Love the UGG boots. Fantastic. Good morning. In our second message in our spiritual formation series that Craig kicked off last week. It's called Renewed for the New. It's about something new forming in us through Christ. You know, spiritual formation is about, I think in a nutshell for me, it's probably about the forming of a loving, dynamic, healthy relationship with God. It's you might remember our theme for the year is about cultivating good soil in us personally, in us as a community, and spiritual formation is a bit like cultivating good soil in us that can help us bring about plenty of healthy fruit in our lives, in all aspects of life, in its right timing. Spiritual formation is about the process of Christ-likeness forming in us. It's about a Christ-like awareness, attitude, action in us towards God, other people, and towards ourselves as well. Spiritual formation is about this continued forming of our relationship with God and other people. It's a bit like a baby formed in the womb. The formation is something that's formed, that's new, that's growing in us, that wasn't there before in that form. God wants to form in us through the inner work of the Holy Spirit and through our cooperation with Him, kind of this kind of spiritual baby in us, if you wanna say it like that. Just a little reminder, and maybe the wordings is a bit different, but Craig last week as well, he reminded of us something, a quote and a concept presented by Olive Wyon from the School of Prayer. Let me read it to you. If we could see beneath the surface of many a life, we would see thousands of people within the church are suffering from arrested spiritual development. They stop growing towards spiritual maturity. And this is due to the fact that at some point in their lives, some point in our lives, we may maybe resist or are unaware of or are negligent or just don't know how to take the next step, which would open up for ourselves a new and vital development in our spiritual journey. You know, just a reminder, as I heard plenty of times, repeated by people in the church, but I think Bench was one of Bench's saying that the whole thing is not about perfection, it's about progress. So let's keep that in mind as we look at some of these things today. You know, taking the next step of progress, there are some key influential factors in this that we will talk about in the next three sermons, actually, this one and the next two in the sermon series as well, that can either hinder or promote that next step of formation in our life. And one of these key influential factors is linked to the following very important question that I want to pose to you. The question is this: is the idea or image or maybe the experience of God that you have such a one that makes you want to approach God freely? That wants you to draw close to God, to get to God no more. This idea or image that you have of God that you carry in you. Because there's a problem with this sometimes. Let's do a little internal exercise for a moment. Some kind of very frank and honest self-reflection, if you want to join me in this. Let's just reflect on some of our relationships with other people in our life. I'm thinking maybe of the people that sometimes we try to avoid. that maybe cause a little bit of a cringe in us when we're with them. To be honest, I believe we all have them in our lives. I don't think it's just me, right? Yeah. You know, for example, maybe a neighbor that everybody maybe avoids because they're just not easy to be with. Maybe they talk and talk and talk. They never show any interest in us. They just want to talk. Growing up in the village in Germany, we had one of those neighbors, lived right up in our street. A lady, older, her husband had passed away a few years ago. And I could see it from our window sometimes when people would avoid her, would try to avoid her. And when she caught you in her web and talking, it sometimes took minutes and minutes, which felt like hours and hours, until you finally got the chance in the breather, one of her breathers, just to say, I have to go, I'm sorry. You know, I think only in hindsight and probably thinking of her later on, I realized that she was probably quite lonely. She was probably just seeking a connection with other people. Maybe it's not your neighbor, maybe it's your boss or a workmate or a client that makes you necessarily feel that good, or feel when you walk away, maybe you don't feel as good when you walk away from them. Maybe a bully, maybe a relative, or maybe even somebody at church or in your connect group. I think we all have them. And maybe if you don't have them, maybe then you're one of them. Then I think of some people who actually I enjoy being with, or we enjoy being with. You know, maybe someone you trust deeply, someone you like hanging out with, someone you know cares about you deeply. Maybe someone where you can just be truly yourself. You can be at your worst and you know they still care about you, they love you, they will still show up. You know, at times we feel positive or negative about others based maybe even just on assumptions. It might not even be the reality what we experience. Sometimes based on how we experience that person, who we think maybe they are or what they like. The picture or experience we have of another person makes us either being drawn to them or actually try to avoid them. Makes us maybe want to be open with them and share deeply, or maybe just hold back and not do that. I want to suggest this morning that what's true for our relationship with people is also true in our relationship with God. I want to read a quote from Gerard Hughes. He said this. He said, when we pray, we must have some idea of God in our minds. And this idea of God influences how we pray and whether we pray. You know, 4 weeks ago I preached and I shared a bit of a blast from the past of my life. I want to reveal a little bit more about myself. You know, that has to do with my idea, with my image of God. You know, growing up, my mom used to take me to the Lutheran church, local Lutheran church. I had mom around, aunties around that all went to church, and I would go there. You know, we had the Christmas place at school every time. There's a general just a culture in Germany where in the schools, in church, where in the carols in town and stuff, like the Christian message, the gospel message is around there. It's not necessarily a message about following Jesus or discipleship, but it's certainly a message of Jesus' sacrifice for us, about salvation. And I remember when I prayed in Germany, my address, the way I would address God, would be, Lieber Gott. And then I would pray. And this word, Lieber Gott, translated maybe just in by word, it means basically, Dear God. But it's so much more than just a Dear God or Lieber Gott address, like maybe in a letter. When I think of that word, lieber Gott, the way I used to address, or the way I heard the message from the Lutheran church or from my mom, the word lieber goes hand in hand with someone who someone is, what somebody is like. It almost gives an idea of the very nature of that person. And that word lieber in Germany, in connection with God or with a person, it certainly, for me, it gives an image of somebody who is, by his very nature or her very nature, good, kind, gentle, loving, understanding. Somebody who is deeply, deeply for you and with you. You know, for me to see God in this way, as a lieber God, has a very practical implications of how I was approaching God, how free I felt to come to God. Doesn't matter how I felt or what I thought I did wrong or how I was going. You know, 1 John 4:8 teaches us that God is love. It's not just something that he does. It's not something that he wants us to be like, but he is by his very nature love. You know, until probably the age of 24, I had no idea what it meant to follow Jesus or about discipleship, but I had a very, very strong image about a loving God, about my lieber God. And therefore, I think I can't remember, I tried to reflect on this and remember, but I can't remember that I ever hesitated to come to God with anything. Didn't matter how I feel about other people, about myself, I can't remember ever having hesitated to come to God. You know, I'm aware that the way maybe I grew up with this image of God, not everybody maybe has this image. Or I'm aware as well that at times, an image we have of a person or of God can actually change over time. There might be stuff in our life, experiences, or interactions with somebody that actually change the way we see somebody. You know, the message we carry internally about who God is and what God is like, the image of God that we have developed in us, or that internalized, our image of Jesus, our understanding of the person and presence and work of the Holy Spirit, and especially our image of God as our Heavenly Father. Or maybe if you struggle to connect with maybe a father figure, think about it as a heavenly parent, a carer, a heavenly carer. You know, that image we have of God either assists being formed continually into Christ-likeness, or it hinders us. Want to do a bit of a disclaimer, because, you know, sometimes when we think about forming or growing Christ or our journey, I think, I don't know about you, but what I want is, it's just like a get from A to B as quickly as possible. In a straight line, just go on your bike and ride up from A to B. I've got a little image there, actually, as well, that might help to illustrate that. So there's our plan on top, but then there's God's plan on the bottom. It looks very different. I don't know about you, but in my experience, like probably my biggest growth in life came in the challenging times, in the times where you have to go the ups and downs, where you have to cross the rivers and go over the bridges and climb up the hills, where you may be bruised and battered, you know. Just a little disclaimer, just to make sure you're not discouraged when it doesn't look like the top, but maybe looks more like the bottom. Hang in there. Hang in there. God is with us. He loves us. So my own faith journey hasn't been a smooth one. My personal image or picture of God has somewhat changed over time as well. It's interesting that it started changing, actually, when I turned from being a maybe a believer in just, you know, believing in God when I actually turned and gave my life to Christ and became a follower of Christ. I shared with you very briefly last week that my first 5 to 6 years as a new Christian, as a Christ follower, was actually in the context of a Christian cult. You know, the leader there, the pastor, the key pastor there, had a very charismatic personality, had a lot of humor, was a top communicator. But looking at all in hindsight, I remember he had also a very short fuse, a bad temper, was highly manipulating. He nurtured an environment of fear and control. He had really twisted motives, and his moral compass and character was just totally stuffed. You know, in those 5.5 years in the cult, my existing image of my lieber God, my good and gentle and kind and understanding God, started slowly changing. I started internalizing a distorted false image of God. I started seeing God through a filter that wasn't right anymore, through a lens that was distorting the image. And my relationship with God became more and more fear-based, guilt-based, legalistic. When I thought I failed to live up to God's high expectations, or when I stepped beyond the boundaries of maybe what was taught to be holy living, I started struggling to pray, to engage with God, to approach Him, because I maybe felt unworthy or not welcome, not good enough to draw near to God. You know, I wonder if that's not just me. You know, maybe it might be you, maybe it might not be as extreme, maybe it might just be more subtle. What's your image of God? Is it one that really makes you freely approach Him? Doesn't matter where you're at. You know, there can be some subtle signs as well. You might think, oh, my image of God is all fine. You know, at ministry college, actually 3 of the 7 part-time years that I did were about spiritual formation. A lot of that was about as well, about, you know, what is our image of God? How are we going with it? How is our relationship with other people? All the things that influence our spiritual formation. And one of the things that I learned there, and that stuck with me as well, that our image of God, even if you think it's all honky-dory, it's all good, you know, there can be little signs that can be little warning signs where we maybe have to look at and see God about what He's really like. Maybe there's some filter, some lens that distorts a little bit of our image. Some of these signs would be hyperactivism, fundamentalism, legalism. I don't know if I get this word right. Authoritarianism, said it? Yeah, good. Moralism. So there's some of these things, you know, that sound, maybe sometimes some of them might be looking like a very, very Christian and very, you know, committed. But if you find that in yourself, or maybe your good friends might notice it in yourself, maybe it's just a little warning sign, just to that maybe your image of God might need a little bit of adjusting. I want to get David just to get ready for the Bible reading, but as David reached this passage in Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, and Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 2, I want to encourage you, maybe even just close your eyes and just listen to how Paul describes this image of God. Thanks, David.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness.
Thanks, David. Can I encourage you to take some time, maybe after the service or this week, actually, to really slowly read through this passage a few times? Because that's, like for me, that's just a great reminder. And something, an image of God, an image of Jesus. And when we look, don't forget, when we look at Jesus, we're looking at God. We're looking at God the Father, God the Parent. We're looking at the Holy Spirit, the three-in-one God. There's no difference in attitude, in action, in the way God sees us. You know, when I look at this bit of scripture, you know, where it says that we have a high priest who is not unable. So we have a high priest who is able, let's put it like this, to empathize with our weaknesses. You know, Jesus is able because of what he went through, that he came in the flesh. He experienced every human emotion, every human temptation. He is able to put himself into our shoes. He understands what's going on in us. He understands what's going on in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. And therefore, he's able to gently deal with us in our weaknesses. Yet he did not sin. You know, Jesus lived the perfect life towards God and other people. So we don't have to, because we can't. Because Jesus understands, and because he willingly gave his life for us. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. You know this word approach? I looked it up. I saw it in a theological dictionary. The word approach in the Greek form, it's kind of a present tense word that means let us continually, let us not cease to approach God with confidence. This confidence is not about pride. Look at me, I'm such a great Christian. I can come to God anytime. It's not based on ourselves, but it's based on Jesus. We can have this confidence because of him. It's not based on what or how much we're doing. It's based on what he has done. Ephesians 3:12. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I don't know about you, but it's given me the shivers actually to think about God, think about Jesus, think about the Holy Spirit in this way. He understands. He is the living God. He understands. He's gentle. He's kind. He's with us. You know, as we look to Jesus, we are reminded what God is like. In 1997, so about 23 years ago, in a cold and starry night, I was still in a cult, but God, through his Holy Spirit, already had worked in my heart. He had revealed to me some of that character, some of the stuff that wasn't aligning with who God was. This image I had gotten through this lead pastor, they called him the overseer. That alone should already get the warning flags up, you know. Starry and cold nights, I had enough. I was house-sitting for one of the pastors at the time who was overseas, out in Coramba, near Coffs Harbor. I started packing my 1986 XF Ford Falcon station wagon, Everything I owned in that house fitted in the car. And I left. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. I had packed for a few hours. I drove up north. I knew I need to get away because the system, the culture, the distortion of the teaching about God was doing something to the people, to my friends in there, that I knew I cannot be with them at that time. I had to remove myself. So driving up north, I was hiding in a caravan park for about 6 weeks, in a little old caravan with no TV. Have a guess what happened. Early nights and early in the morning getting up. I've never again had so many mornings where I went up before sunrise and would be at the beach and wait for the sunrise. That first morning after I had left, because of the teachings in the cult, because of the way I perceive God about this punishing, strict, not happy Jan, you know, a kind of God with me, the doubts came because I thought maybe God is angry at me because I left the church. And a miracle happened in that morning. Because I was alone, I didn't have any friends, other friends than those in the church there. A miracle happened because I remember as clearly as it was yesterday, and this is 23 years ago, that I walked to town in the morning. The doubts came. I was wondering, is God going to punish me? Is there something terrible happening to me? Have I done a mistake? Am I a traitor to God? I don't know if you had that before, but when the very strong thought comes from left field, almost like a one-liner or a two-liner or something that comes just very unexpectedly. And God in this moment gave me a revelation. And this is what I heard back then, and I believe it was God. You don't have to, you know, if you don't believe that God works like that, that's okay. But for me, it was real. And God said to me, don't worry about leaving that church. Because I love you, I died for you. I'm bigger than that. I understand. That changed something straight away in me. As I say, it's not. We don't have all the same experience. I think I needed it back then just because of the heaviness that was there through those 6 years. Maybe sometimes it's more subtle over time that God changes the way we see him. But something amazing happened for me back then. You know, the question I want to ask again to you this morning is the idea, the image, the experience of God you have, such a one that makes you actually want to approach him freely? Is your experience, your image of God, one that makes you want to respond and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in your spiritual formation? Don't know about you, but as pastors, we've talked at the staff meeting about it already. There's already from last week's sermon, actually, we already hear the stories of where God has touched and is touching people in a special way. It's actually, in a sense, life-changing. You know, it might be a miracle, a touch, and it changes everything, or it might be just his slow work. Let me make a suggestion how you can act and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in your spiritual formation. You know, if you ask yourself, how can I respond? This is the way. Take this scripture passage. Take some time this week. Read slowly through the passage. Maybe a couple times. Maybe if you're with a connect group or with a friend, maybe read it to each other. Maybe in a couple different translations. And as you do that, ask yourself these three questions. The first one, as you read through and reflect and take a bit of time, what captured your attention in this passage? Maybe it is the sermon. Maybe there's something that captured your attention in the sermon that's not really even related to the passage. Maybe it's something that somebody said. But start with that scripture passage. What captured your attention? Is it a, a word, maybe a phrase, a concept, something you picture how Jesus might have dealt with that, or how Paul would stand there and say this. Why does Paul say this? What captured your attention? Maybe it sticks out. I can tell you, when God speaks, when God wants to get your attention, he will. Second question, reflect on it, pray. What might God be trying to say to you? Why does he want to get your attention? Is there something about yourself, about a relationship, about your relationship with God, your image with God, that God wants to highlight something? And the third question, who will you share and discuss your thoughts with? Because that's important. We're made for community. We're made to journey with each other in this journey of faith. Talk with somebody about it. Maybe it's somebody in the family, maybe a friend, maybe a mentor, maybe in your connect group. Maybe a pastor, maybe a counselor. The method that I just described is actually, the official name is the Bible Discovery Method. You can do that with any scripture. I try to remember it as, this is Bernie just saying, it's a what-what-who method. What captured your attention? What might God be trying to say to you? Who will you share and discuss it with? What-what-who? And the second what is maybe the what-what-who? Yeah. Whenever we respond to the Holy Spirit, amazing things happen. And I can promise you, from my own experience, if we do this, if we pay attention and keep paying attention to what the Holy Spirit might want to point out to us, if we reflect on what God might be trying to say, if you respond in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, if you keep approaching the throne of grace, the loving, kind, and understanding God of grace, you'll be amazed what happens in your life. Let me pray. Lieber Gott, my loving, caring, understanding, kind, and gentle God, I want to come before you right now, together with each and every one of our brothers and sisters here in church, each and every one who might be listening or watching this, each and every one that's in our families, our relationships, our neighbors, that need to have an adjustment maybe of their image of you. It's really all of us ongoingly. I want to thank you what you did for us through Jesus on the cross, through Jesus in his life on earth, in the flesh, that he was tempted and subject to weakness just as we are. And therefore that he can sympathize with our weaknesses and deal with us gently. That therefore we can approach you, the God of grace, with confidence and freedom anytime. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.